gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in. If you've been joining us the last 2 hours, we have been doing and completed, in almost exactly 2 hours, my friends, we completed a 20-man crybaby roto draft. Not a mock, a live draft.
Real draft.
We are playing for a ring from officialfantasyrings.com. That's what's going down. You guys can check them out. You can get hooked up with a discount if you use promo code ITL. The amazingly incredible cool jewelry that is fully customized to your league. I know we have been doing it for many years. Michael Rappaport does it. I think they even had one for one of the Stern leagues last year. I suggest you go check it out. You will dig it. I promise it will be one of the coolest prizes you could have for the end of your league. Plus, because we are calling it the Crybaby Roto League, second and third place, we are giving away Crybaby packages. We're giving away Crybaby
gift baskets. Like Derek Jeter gave away gift baskets.
Yeah, because, you know, in Roto, you're going to cry if you don't finish. If you finish first and you don't win the championship because, you know, like, nothing ever happens.
That's why Roto people don't play head-to-head.
Yeah, they hate it. They hate it, like, desperately. Like, to the point where, like, Roto people are out there trying to, like, you know, start a movement to get rid of head-to-head, which is just... You know, I mean, we want to be careful.
I haven't heard of that movement.
I swear
to
God.
There's a lot of terrible online protests going on. You know, there was, you know, don't they have that? What's the one where if you sign up, if they get 200 people to sign up, like some person in government has them to look at it. What is it?
And then 200 under them. And then if they get three more under them, they all get money.
Yeah, it's a funnel system.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. But like change.org. Is the thing that you're
thinking that's
of.
It. The change.org, like, I remember, like, right when the newest Star Wars came out, Episode 7, they were like, the government should build a Death Star. And, like, you know,
the nerds are
200 people signed up for it, so someone in the government had to waste their time and
nerds. Shut up. That's so
is
annoying.
That what they're doing? Is there a change.org to get rid of head-to-head?
No, probably. I'm surprised it hasn't started. Yeah, I mean... Not to get crazy on it, you guys can tweet us if you have an opinion on it. We're playing Roto, by the way. Like, we'll play Roto.
Like both.
I'm fine with it.
They both have their spot.
But here's why I like head-to-head. Because real baseball has a playoff, and anything can happen in the playoffs.
And we are trying to mimic the game. You know, it's a fantasy. You know, that's they don't give out any trophies to the team with the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
You know, if that team happens to win the playoffs, then sure, they get a trophy.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's the whole shtick there. I don't get the crazy thing on it. So we like to have fun with it and obviously maybe upset a few people with it in the process. But I think it's fun to go through the exercise of doing Roto Leagues. But I think we went a little overboard with a 20-man league with absolute full rosters.
I probably should have at least cut an outfielder off.
I mean... But it'd have been nice.
We've been running a lot of leagues. Well, it didn't matter what I did. You're going to complain about it. So,
true. Facts.
It did not matter, but we've been doing so many leagues. I just wanted one where I was kind of like, I'm just going to standard. That's fine. Let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let's go.
And so that's what I did here. And, you know, looking at my team, like I said before, I went in waves with this team.
With pick 12.
Liked it.
You had pick 12.
Pick 12 of 20. I hated it to start because I got sniped on my second round and third round picks.
Yeah.
Just immediately out the gate.
That was a rough start for you.
And so I didn't like it, but then when it came back, I feel like my hitting is going to be really good. My pitching might need to win wins and strikeouts.
Yeah.
But my hitting is pretty solid. Are you ready for me to read this team off, the Welsh?
Yeah, let's start with this. Let's do this first. Okay. Give me catcher to middle infield. Let's just focus on those guys first.
So my catcher is Jorge Alfaro. I got him in round 18. Round 7, my starting first baseman was Justin Smoke. Round 9, my second baseman is John Villar. First round, Chris Bryant at third. Shortstop is Jordy Mercer, round 22, pick 429. Second round, Josh Donaldson. And my middle infielder was your suggestion, Neil Walker, in round 17.
I mean, I think you got some killer deals here. I think Josh Donaldson at 29 was a good get. A lot of these guys went about where I thought, but I mean, again, Neil Walker is, it was annoying to me. Like, I wanted to take him, but I was in a spot where I literally couldn't roster him with what I did with my team. You know, Hanley Ramirez only qualified at utility. I already had Moncada. I had Drury.
This is about my team.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
We'll talk about your team.
But I had all those guys, and I wanted Neil Walker, so I'm happy that you got Neil Walker. This core right here, just blinding yourself from Jordy Mercer for a minute, he's really good.
And hopefully, I mean, I'm never going to sit here and hope for an injury, but Marcus Semien has had stuff in the past. Jed Lowry is keeping a spot warm for somebody at this point. I took Barreto in the hopes that at some point he's going to come up and start accruing me some stats. So I would like him over Jordy Mercer, but Jordy Mercer's gone on nice little spurts before. I remember talking about him in the waiver wire and you eventually saying your guy, Jordy Mercer, but you didn't want to do that because you say Jody Mercer all the time for whatever reason. So,
no respect.
But yeah, that's the ugly part. But I really like this infield, and I think I have power and speed on the infield with by getting John VR. And I'm happy to get one share of him because I haven't got him anywhere else, and I'm kind of excited about him this season.
Yeah, I'd give you an A on this infield. Now let's talk about your outfield.
Let's just stop at the infield.
Let's take a look at the outfield.
The outfield is, I got Manny Margot in round 6, then round 8, Delino DeShields. Then round 13 was Carlos Gomez. Round 16, I went with some pop with Jorge Soler. Round 21, I got a starting outfielder in John Jay. And my utility is Kenrys Morales. And I did wind up taking Boog Powell as an outfielder for now, because Fowler's probably going to start the year in the minors. And Boog will probably, he'll probably start and hit 9.
I think this is like solid. Like, I love Margot. I mean, though, you know, you'd personally love to have Margot as your outfield too. DeShields, love him. You'd want him as 3. I like Gomez. Soler was a good buy. Because remember, you say
it's a value.
But people also need to understand and remember 1,000 times. And I'm more talking to the people that maybe are just tuning in. 20 man. So Jorge Soler is the 4th outfielder. That sounds gross. We know. Round 16, what the hell? But it was pick 309. So that was the whole point of that. John Jay was a good pick. I think Kendry Morales was a fantastic utility spot. It's less than ideal, though you do have a lot of speed. You really set yourself up with, in a roto league, you've got VR and DeShields. So I think that's a solid spot.
And Margot will steal some bases.
And Margot. Yeah.
And John Jay will lead off. Maybe he'll get some swipes. And then
power might be a little sketchy on your team with guys you have starting, you know, guys like DeShields and John Jay, which and Jordy Mercer, which could kind of
set
you back a bit. But, you know, you're still going to compete.
Yeah, I think I at least balanced it out. Like, it's not, I didn't get any real power speed guys, which is kind of depressing because that's what I like to do. But I got Smoke, Bryant, Donaldson, and Kendrys, and, you know, Carlos Gomez will hit a couple. Our guy, you know, Walker will hit a couple. So I think I'm definitely not going to win power. I'm not going to be number one overall. But if I could be top 6, that's what I want.
Yeah. I'm not sure you're going to be top 6, but I think 20 man. You think you're going to be top 6 with that team in power?
With Smoke, Bryant, Donaldson, and Morales. I mean, that's a lot of bombs, dude.
Okay.
And it's not like I don't think anyone that I took. You know, John Jay is not going to hit a lot, but and I have Soler too. No one I took is going to be that one homer guy. You know, it's not like I took Billy Hamilton anywhere. So
I mean, I guess, but John Jay is not that much better, and either is DeShields. I'm just saying, like, I think top 6 is. I mean, good on you. If you do, you're going to probably win this league. I'm just not sure that it'll be there, but we'll see it. Let's look at the pitching. What do you got on pitching?
My starters, I have Carlos Martinez, Shohei Ohtani, Patrick Corbin, Tyler Chatwood, Jake Odorizzi, Amir Garrett, Marco Gonzalez, and Steven Gonzalez and Matt Shoemaker. So I got 9. Well, Gonzalez is going to start the year in the minors, but he'll come up. I think he'll be up like, you know, May 1st, somewhere around there.
I'd be aggressive. I'm not sure about that, but that would be aggressive if it was.
Yeah, their starters are so bad. I know Kyle Gibson's having a good spring, but Irvin Santana is out. Like, I think they're going to need him. So, and if not, you know, he's always, I took him in round 26. So if I have to drop him, I have to drop him.
And your then, starters. Go with your closers. Sorry.
Yeah, my closers, I'll just throw them in there too. I got Chapman, Bradley, and then I took Tony Watson late. So I at least got 2 saves guys.
I would say your starters, are so reliant on the season Shohei Ohtani has.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't call it better than a B+, unfortunately.
No. I mean, that's
maybe even being nice. Yeah, maybe it's a B to B+, but if Ohtani doesn't work out, it's going to be a struggle with the pitching for you, unless, you know, unless a couple other guys pick up the slack. Patrick Corbin has a fantastic year. Marco Gonzalez breaks out. I'd say he is probably closer to a B. Your closer situation, I'm going to give you probably a B+ to A-. There's a little bit of risk. I wish, like, I'm going to give my, no matter what, I'll give myself probably the same type of thing, because I think three would have really set apart in a 20-man league. And we had the chance, and neither one of us did. But I really like your two closers. If Bradley gets a job, you probably actually, unless somebody did a double tap type of thing, you might have two of the best closers combo.
Yeah, I mean, Bradley, I mean, the reason Bradley fell to pick 189 is because they haven't announced it yet. But Hirano hasn't been that great. Like, I think that Boxberger is his big competition. So we'll have to see. I mean, he'll at least get some saves either way, but it was a bit of a risk because that's a top 10 pick in this league. So,
all right. You want to take a look at mine?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. So my middle infield with the corner and middle is at catcher. I got Jonathan Lucroy in the 14th round at 273. I was gifted Paul Goldschmidt with the 8th overall pick. So I got him first round. Daniel Murphy I took in the 5th round at 88 overall. Third base right now is solidified by Logan Forsythe, who I think is a great value because he'll be starting for Justin Turner. I got him at round 17. That's 328. My starting shortstop right now is Dansby Swanson, who I got in the 18th round at 353. Corner infielder is Joe Mauer in the 21st round at 408. And middle infield, I got Yamón Cadena in the 6th round at 113. And then on the bench, I did some other stuff. If you remember, I took Brandon Drury, who will end up being my third baseman, or can be, for Logan Forsythe. I also took Jorge Polanco, who I will squat on, and he can end up being my shortstop if need be. And then I also got Daniel Descalso, who can play some outfield and can play second base for me. So what do you
think?
And
a backup catcher, James McCann.
And James McCann. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got backup James McCann.
You know what? It's good for the late picks. Like, I actually kind of like the pairing of Dansby Swanson and Joe Mauer, because Swanson really needs to bring that average up, but Joe Mauer is always going to hit for average. So I kind of like those guys washing each other out and being, late round starters for you. Yoan Moncada was just too good. You couldn't pass him up at where he was.
Yeah, pick 113
in this draft, and he got some speed, you know. Kind of how a lot of my season depends on how Shohei Ohtani performs. Yours is going to be, Daniel Murphy coming back and staying healthy. It's not just getting back. You know what I mean? I would rather have a guy miss the entirety of April, especially in a roto league. So I'd rather have him miss the entirety of April and then come back and play well.
Well, I have so many
back than being rushed back.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sure if Murphy's the biggest guy. He'll be huge because I have so many second basemen, so I'm covered. But you're right, because I mean, I could have done something different at corner or shortstop or third had I not taken Murphy.
Well, you can replace him, but you can't really replace Murphy's stats.
Yeah,
is
that's
what I'm
very
saying.
True.
You know, Yoan Moncada is very, very good, and you picked him right after Murphy. I thought that was smart. The rest of your guys can fill in, so you're at least putting up numbers and you're not, sitting idly by or anything like that. But, I think that...
Give me a grade.
I would say A- on the infield.
All right, my outfield currently looks like Cody Bellinger, who I'm putting in the outfield, Billy Hamilton, Sin-Soo Choo, Denard Span, Matt Joyce. Utility is Hanley Ramirez. And as we mentioned before, Daniel Descalso will be able to qualify in the outfield as well.
I like this outfield. You got the speed with Hamilton. You got the power with Bellinger. And you got a little bit of mix with everything else. You know, Denard Span has been one of my guys this season. I think I have a couple shares of him in really deep leagues because he's going to lead off in DH, so less chance of him getting hurt. He has a little bit of pop. I mean, he'll hit over 10 on occasion.
Good average, too. He's going to keep up, my average. I mean, I got some power potential issues, but yet I've also got, Goldie, Murphy, Bellinger, Chu can put up 20. It'll be a question where I am on the power front, but I think I did a lot of good on my average, and I built a really solid average team that maybe, Moncada, Hamilton, Bellinger, those could be the question marks where everyone else is pretty close to a 300 hitter.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Joyce is kind of your Jody Mercer, you know, Jody sure. Mercer.
Yeah, exactly. You called because, him Jody, yeah.
Yeah, I called him Jody now. Yeah, because he's, you know, round 22 and he's starting for you. But, you know, maybe there's a potential Drury could wind up playing some outfield. So, you know, we'll have to see. And maybe Danny Descalso, he plays everywhere. So.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you got to give me a grade on that.
I would say that's an A.
Okay, so I'm doing pretty good so far. I'm going to give the outfield, and then we will talk about it on the other side of this break. This was something I did focus on, and I'm actually very happy in a 20-man league to have put together the starting pitchers I did. The closers, they've also got a good potential, but I need a couple things to start working my way. I got Yu Darvish in the third round at 48, Marcus Stroman at 128 overall in the seventh. Next round, I took Garrett Richards at 153, followed by Cole Hamels in the 12th round at 233, Miles Mikolas in the 16th, Kendall Graveman in the 23rd, Luis Perdomo I got in the 24th, and Adam Wainwright I got in the 27th Ooh. Round. I know.
And he's going to call us.
Yeah, he might. Well, I got him at 528, so I got you at a deal, Adam. And then my closers, that's where I went and took Greg Holland, who does not have a job, but I got him in the 9th round at 168, followed by Mark Melancon at 193. And then just trying to take a shot in the dark by taking Brandon
Maurer. I mean, hey, look, if they trade Herrera, Maurer is a good pick.
That would be the hope there. So that is my team in the 20-man Crybaby Roto. So on the other side, Bogman will break that down. We'll take a look at that. And then we will look kind of around baseball, and we'll cover the last little, your last bit of draft notes for the rest of the show, because it's going to be important. You might be drafting in an hour. Hell, you might be listening to this as you're drafting. So let's get this thing going. Don't go anywhere. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
You can't believe what fell. All your dreams just pops down the drain. Let's play some
In This League.
That's right, baby. We are back in this league on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We just finished a 20-man Crybaby Roto League, and I know you guys are going to have your draft coming up, so go check it out. We've told you about it all show long, but maybe you missed it, maybe you've been on the fence. 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. It's your last chance to get the book and use it, utilize it in your drafts, probably over the next like 5 days. I wouldn't say that it doesn't have good applicable information for in season, because the whole point of the book was kind of pitting players against each other on and who the consensus of the industry would want, and the results were fascinating. Each individual debate has three judges on them, guys from Paul Sport or Rob Silver to Jake Seeley to Jason Collette, and the results were fascinating, so much so that we have an insider program that if you were so inclined that you liked In This League, it is called the ITL Army at patreon.com/ITL Army. We do secret comedy shows. We've got ranks. We do a whole bunch of stuff. And the most recent secret show we did was where we were talking about the inside baseball of our book, all the crazy process we went through.
Ken Burns was there.
Yeah, actually. it was nuts, but we focused on kind of like some of the chaos that happened when we were reading all of the results.
Yeah, there was there was some weirdness in what we were like, how did this happen with this guy? Why did the judges do this? And yeah. Then there was a lot of me complaining about the things that the Welsh assigned, because for, I don't know, whatever dumb reason in my head, I thought he was going to be like, yeah, we'll go down the middle on this. But he was like, nah, I'll take all the good players.
That wasn't true.
And I'll let Bogman take all the crappy players.
We still haven't had a single person. I had put it out there that we needed someone to go through and actually score the book. No one has scored the book. Like who won? Through?
I mean, you definitely won.
I don't think so.
I remember seeing those. Yeah, you did. 100%.
You sure?
Yes.
How sure?
I'll bet whatever amount you want.
Would
you like to bet $200?
I wouldn't, because I feel like okay. I feel like somebody emailed.
Would you like to bet $5?
You're probably right. I mean, it is
See,
me.
God,
here.
You cheap bastard! It is five me bucks.
Well,
do five bucks.
Why do I need to bet? Because you already know. You said you know.
Well, you sound pretty confident.
I'm not that confident. I'm truly not.
Then
I'm
why
just
are
saying,
we bringing it up? Why are we talking about it right now if you're not confident?
I just didn't think it was so definitive as you're saying it is.
It's pretty easy, dude. Okay. I mean, look, you wanted me to argue the harder side because I'm the superior writer, and you got your wish. So,
yeah, I mean, you definitely wrote a lot and a lot.
I did write a lot. Well, I had to because you kept giving me those crappy players. I had to make up more excuses for them.
Well, it's only $6.99. You can see all of what Bogman wrote. You can see my layup write-ups, and you can see the rest of what the industry judged on it. We had an early top 300 in there. It's a cool piece. You can use it in season if you want to kind of go back, and you can reference it. You can hit us up on the shows and ask us about it. And it's a perfect complement, even if you have draft guides right now. We don't even call it a draft guide. It's a piece for your critical thinking and your decision making, that it's not just our rank. We've got stuff from the smart guys in the industry. And you can say, well, what would Paul Spohr do if he was against these two players? We got it right there. So go check it out. PDF at InThisLeague.com. Or you can get the Kindle over at Amazon.com. $6.99. Beautiful
thing. Easy peasy. Go buy it.
So when we left,
give the Walsh back that $5 he just bet me.
Yeah, but yeah, I didn't. We were at break. Before we went to break, I laid out my pitching staff. So I'll just say it again. I drafted Yu Darvish, Marcus Stroman, Garrett Richards, Cole Hamels, Miles Mikolas, Kendall Graveman, Luis Perdomo. Jesus.
Perdomo.
I'm struggling, man. Adam Wainwright with closers, Greg Holland, Mark Melanson, and Brandon Mauer. So talk to me about my staff.
I know that you like your staff a lot. I'm not going to say that I don't like it, because there's a lot that I like here. I'm a big Darvish guy. I'm a big Stroman guy. I'm definitely a big Richards guy, but he is really, really risky. But I like that you took your risk at pitcher three. I did it at pitcher two with Ohtani. So you're ahead of me in that already. Cole Hamels could definitely bounce back. I think he's a great bounce back candidate for Roto League, especially. Mikolas is, that's a guess. We're guessing. I like getting the A's ace in Kendall Graveman. You read some stuff about Perdomo that makes you confident about him. I don't know what you're doing with Adam Wainwright, but it's pick 528. So who cares, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is there any, what's your set of worry? I would give this an A. There's an A in a 20 man. I do want to look at a couple other staffs just to go through to see how we are, pick a couple random teams.
Yeah, I'll pick two random teams and we'll look at their pitching staff and stuff like
right.
that.
Right. Well, just look at their team and see how confident we are in our team afterwards.
I mean, I'd say I like this. I think for a 20 man, having Darvish, Stroman, and Richards is your anchor. And then I've got some upside in Mikolas, and Hamels has got some. Kendall Graveman and Perdomo, I mean, they could be sleeper guys. So I'm happy. My closers worry me a little bit. Melanson's a bit worrisome. Greg Holland doesn't have a job, and I took him over Archie Bradley, which, it's going to piss me off when Archie Bradley is named the closer. That's going to upset me that
I
did that.
Yeah, but so many things can happen between those guys, right? Like, he could sign, Greg Holland could sign with the Cardinals and wind up being the closer there.
They'd probably be even. I still like Archie. If Archie is a starter, though, I love the strikeouts that he provides.
Right.
Yeah, so that's just that. I'd give it an A. I would say, the grade is an A on this team. I'm pretty happy with it in Roto. So let's pick, how about you pick one random team? I will pick a random team, and you can go first.
I'll pick Juniman.
That's where we're going to go. All right, so Juniman. Just, I'm going to read off the offense. Hedges, Chris Davis, Panic, Longoria, Story. Corner infield middle is Chase Headley and, Freddie Galvis. That pissed me off. His outfield, really good. Springer, Upton, McCutcheon, Kepler, and Althier with, where did it go? I just
Victor.
Lost it. Victor Martinez at utility. His pitching staff, Max Scherzer, Kyle Hendricks, Jake Feria, Kenta Maeda, Marco Estrada, Dan Straley, and Jason Hamill with Trevor Williams. Jacob Junis, and does he have – yeah, he has Neris and Cody Allen as his closers. It's a pretty good team. I mean, his offense is questionable, though. Outfield is amazing, but
– is a little questionable. I mean, look, Crush is terrible batting average. Is this a punt average team?
Longoria,
no, I wouldn't
Chris
say it
Davis.
Is. He's got some decent guy. I think he's going to be bad in average, though.
He's trying to balance. He was trying to balance it, but you're right. He is going to struggle there. He's also going to struggle with stolen bases because I don't see where any of the speed is.
Yeah, I mean, he's trying to piece it together, but this is a bottom third team in steals. Easy.
Yeah, his pitching staff is pretty solid, though.
Yeah,
it's not
like,
great. Okay, let me ask you. Sorry, I just totally jumped over you. I apologize. But
that's fine.
Do you like Scherzer, Hendricks, and Feria, or do you like Darvish, Stroman, and Richards?
Darvish, Stroman, and Richards.
So you like mine over, and he spent his first round pick on Scherzer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Feria is a he's a potential breakout, but it's all potential right now. And Kyle Hendricks scares me because he's a soft tosser, and those guys just.
Sounds so derogatory when you say that, by the way. Like he's a soft tosser.
He's a soft tosser.
Doesn't sound like something we're allowed to say anymore.
Soft tossers go to a different place, okay? You can't sit here with us, all right? You're a soft tosser. I don't know why it sounds so derogatory. It kind of does, though. You're right.
It does, especially coming from you.
Why do you always say that?
I'm just saying. Specifically,
I'm from Texas, must be a KKK member. Well, why do you always do that to me?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, you're inferring it, though. You are inferring it.
Should I just let you talk and just dig the hole? I'm going to let you dig a hole. Go ahead.
I'm not digging any hole. You're trying to make me out to be some type of racist that I'm not.
I didn't say any of those words.
All right, Adolf. So Max Scherzer, obviously amazing. Great, great pick. One pick ahead of me. Kyle Hendricks is going to lose it at some point. Feria is a question mark. And then Maeda, we already talked about how Mason mentioned his weird contract where everything over 90 innings, he gets $250,000 extra dollars. So the Dodgers have incentive to put him in the bullpen. He'd still be valuable in Roto out of the bullpen. Marco Estrada, I like. Dan Straley is decent, and Jacob Junis having a good spring. So pretty decent team. Like you said, the hitting is the struggle here.
Yeah, I mean, like I like your hitting overall, and you're more wet balanced than his. I like his pitching over yours. I like the balance of my team, I think, over both a bit. But, I mean, his is up there. It's just the punting of two categories.
Everybody in a 20-man league has to have a couple breaks. Everybody.
Great
does.
Point. Yeah.
So I just think that there are more breaks needed for this team
than
there are for ours. Like Panic, you got to have break. Feria has to really push. Cody Allen is really good, but he's going to have some saves taken away by stupid Miller. And Maeda has to wind up starting, and I just don't know that that's going to happen. So
yeah, no, it's a great point. How about the team I'm going to pick? It's a duo team: Robert Brandon, Simon McPherson, both both captains in the ITL Army. And Simon is definitely. I mean, we're new to Bryn, but he's been drafting most recently with us in some of our ITL mock draft episodes. But we know
they
Simon.
Name their team. I'm trying to find him here.
Robert Brandon, Simon McPherson.
Yeah, I'm looking, and it's in alphabetical order, and this goes from Miguel to Sunbirds.
It's in between Sunbirds, so I don't know, but I'll read it off for you. Wilson Ramos at catcher, Jose Abreu, Jose Altuve, Franco. Orlando Arcia. Corner and middle is Eduardo Escobar with Kike Hernandez. Outfield is Christian Yelich, Ryan Braun, Nomar Mazara, Bradley Zimmer, Josh Reddick. Ooh, that's good. And Nick Williams at utility. The pitching staff, let's see if I can find a starter. Tanner Rourke, Zach Davies, Jordan Zimmerman, Jermaine Marquez, and that's it. Relievers, they went heavy. Roberto Ozuna, Sean Doolittle, Kelvin Herrera, Ryan Madsen, Will Harris, Jonathan Broxton for some reason, Sam Dyson, Pedro Strop, and Trevor Hildenberg.
And they're the hilarious dudes that took Tim Tebow.
They're so funny, taking Tim Tebow. So they went heavy, heavy on the relief pitchers. They were smart in what they did with some of the starting pitching. They're not going to win strikeouts. They're hoping to win ERA, WHIP, and saves on this team. Maybe getting a few wins because they're thinking they can hit the minimum of starting pitching. I'd question some of that. So, okay, overall, what do you think about this team? The offense, they did just a killer job, I think.
I'm still trying to find it. Dude, I'm telling you, it absolutely skips this team.
I don't know
what is going on. I can find it on the draft pick results.
That's what I'm at. I'm still on the draft room, the live online draft.
They must
room.
Have renamed their team because I like looking at it. I have to go up to the little bar above the teams. They've disappeared from my team, but from what you read off, I actually really like this team. I think the starters are probably what we are missing on the squad.
Well,
right? Tanner Rourke, Zach Davies, Jordan Zimmerman, German Marquez.
They're literally placeholders, so these guys can hit the minimum innings pitched. That's what these guys are for.
I just don't like that strategy. Maybe it works, I can't see it working.
If they truly took three categories, which is the hope that they're going to have, that they can take, you know, whip.
Yeah, but Jordan Zimmerman and Zach Davies and German Marquez are going to ruin ERA and whip.
Yeah.
They're going to have more starter. They're going to have more innings pitched than these stupid relievers and mess it up.
Yeah, they have the best shot at winning saves. So they're going in on saves. They're not going to win strikeouts. Up in the air, they're not going to win wins. So we are going to throw that out the door too. So the big question is, are they going to win ERA and WHIP? Maybe they get one. That's two categories. That's pretty huge. Plus a good offense. There's an opportunity. I think this team has a shot, but they got to have some stuff go their way. I like their stolen bases with Zimmer and Yelich, Arcia and Altuve, and some power. But I think this team will actually sneakily be probably like a top five or six team. But I think they're gonna be hard pressed to win it because every couple of weeks these blow ups from some of these guys are going to be a problem.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the strategy. Maybe it'll work, but there's also a couple guys I don't like in here. I'm not a Ryan Braun guy. You know that. Mikel Franco. I mean, we've talked about him possibly getting, his job taken away from him at the start of the season. So it's tough to take guys like that in a roto league where there's just not going to be much on the wire at all.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. Well, that is we've had a nice good run here of live drafting with you guys. If you missed any of it, you can go listen on demand, of course, if you would like. At fantasysportsnetwork.com/radio. You guys can listen to the results. I don't know how quick it'll be up, but it'll be up pretty soon here that you guys can listen to the live mock and maybe get some information through it where kind of some of the guys went because we're not posting the results. We got one more segment here. I want to set the table for this because I thought this was really interesting. This happened on Thursday on Twitter with a couple of our friends. I mentioned one of them before, Rob Silver. Rob, he is in our book, if you want to check it out, the 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debates. He judged some of the debates. He did an episode with us early in the season on the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast. I highly suggest, if you were done with this and you were looking for one thing to listen to, go search In This League Fantasy Baseball and go find our episode called Projections with Rob Silver. Killer episode. Rob is he really hosts. Is yeah, it was really great. He hosts the Launch Angle podcast, or he's one of the hosts of the Launch Angle podcast on Fantrax, and he is a high stakes fantasy baseball player. And I think he won the NFBC championship main event 2 years ago, 2016.
Yeah, it was a couple years ago, but he won a big chunk of change.
Yeah, very very smart person and opinionated as well. He put out a tweet that sparked some fire and got some other industry guys to go in. I'm going to give you the tweet, and we're going to talk about it when we get back. He says, one of my hot takes for 2018. So officially, if there was a hot take alert, go hit that sounder if you possibly
H-A-W-T,
could.
H-A-W-T, hot take.
Yeah, very hot take. One of my hot takes for 2018. Luis Castillo is going at pick 77. That's an $18 pick. Here's the take. Luis Castillo won't earn $10 this year. That's in his in-season valuations and will easily be one of the 10 biggest pitcher losers of 2018. Internet did not take kindly to that because it's a hot take, but I kind of like it. So let's cover that. That's Bogman's guy. When we get back here on the other side of this break, this is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We'll be back.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In this league.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back. It's the final segment of all 3 hours of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Go listen on demand what you missed. Go to InThisLeague.com. If you're looking for more, we promise you we have got so many podcasts you won't know what to do with. We got fantasy baseball. We've got prospect podcasts. I'm doing an episode with James Anderson where we are talking about the cumulative rank between four prospect rankers, myself, James Anderson from RotoWire, Ralph Lifshitz from Razzball, and the Baseball HQ crew. We've taken all of theirs. We made a kind of combined rank, and we're going to break that down on Prospect One. You can find that on iTunes. We've also got a brand new show. If you're a football fan, it's a new year-round show that Bogman, myself, and our very dear friend Joe Pizzapia, the author of the Fantasy Black book. And the three of us are doing a show called Full 60. It is the flagship football show for Fantrax. And we just had our debut episode that aired on Thursday. So go check that out. We called it black. Pilot. Great episode.
You're supposed to say stop saying black.
Yeah. Stop. Please stop it.
Black.
Black.
Like if I don't say it, I'll pass out.
So we teased going to break here was a tweet from our buddy Rob Silver. Who we've done episodes with or spent time with over when he was out here.
Good dude.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Smart dude.
And we spent time with him when he was out here, or I did, for the first pitch
you guys
Arizona.
Didn't invite me.
He was there in the poker room. He was just hanging with me. And I was at a game with him, Matt Modica, who's on this network, and Vlad Sedler. We were all at a game together. Just us. Just buddies.
Yeah, not me.
Just I guys being there. Dudes. Needed to make it. I don't know what your problem was. So Rob put this out. One of my hot takes for 2018, Luis Castillo is going at 77. That's an $18 value of a pick. Here's the take. Luis Castillo won't earn $10 this year in my end of season valuations and will easily be one of the 10 biggest pitcher losers of 2018. Followed by a couple more tweets I'm just going to read off and then let's get your take here. People are angry about this. This is what Rob followed up. Some reasons for my take. 40% of pitchers spend time on the DL each year. Taking the under on any pitcher is a fake hot take. To give you a sense of how tough it is to earn $18, Carmart didn't earn it last year. Neither did Paxton or Hill or Keuchel. Here's a little bit more. Zach Godley earned $10 last year in my valuations, meaning he can still be pretty good, and I'm right here. Is it Beyond? Beyond that, for those who think I'm nuts, every public projection system agrees with me. The BAT projection, which I believe is Derek Carty's, gives me a $2 season from Castillo. Steamer, $6. Zips, $8. I'm going to end it there on where he was going. There's a lot more in his tweet. You can follow Rob at Rob Silver. And when you look at the projections for Luis Castillo.
Well, a couple things I just want to hit first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying to look at Fantasy Pros for his actual, because that's his NFBC ADP.
It's not that, I don't think it's that much different. I mean, he went pretty high, I think, in the Crybaby League we did.
It's very different.
Well, I don't buy the Fantasy Pros one then. I guess that's my problem.
For some reason, the Fantasy Pros is very different because there is something messed up here. Someone put 790 in for Fantrax when that should have been 90. So his actual retail price, the Welsh, is about 104. Not 77. He's going 114 in ESPN. He's going 112 in CBS. 123 in Yahoo.
I haven't seen him go in outside the top 100 in a single league we've done this year.
Yeah, we haven't, but we also talk about this every single
day. Actually, dude, I just lied. Guess check this out. In the Bourbon League I'm doing, it's a quality start OBP league. It's 14 man. It's just me and some ITL guys.
He should be
guys.
Better in that type of league.
You would think. He went 101. Yeah, he went 101.
So in most leagues, he's not actually going 77. So I'm not saying that Rob is wrong, because look, Rob is smarter than I am.
Well, he took but he also based this off the NFBC ADP, which is fine and correct.
And he also said, you know, downgrading any pitcher is a fake hot take, which is also a great point to make overall. You know, I don't think I've seen Luis Castillo go that high. I mean, like that is where I put him on my list. Like when it's around 77, I go, if everybody else goes, I'll take Luis Castillo here.
I just never pulled the trigger on it. And I agree with you. I don't buy him as a 77. I buy him more in the 90s. That's about the range, I think. I think the 90s have become a very popular space for Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna, Luis Castillo. It's a buzz round right in that area. You know, projection wise, I think that would probably still put him, I don't know what the money would be at that point, maybe $15, $14. But he's not wrong, especially like take it for even if it was like $10 for that matter. He's right when you look at bat projections or steamer projections, they're much lower on him. And they're obviously being, you know, they're trying to keep a toed line. But steamer projects Luis Castillo at 144 innings. I mean, almost a 9K per nine. That's a lot where it's coming from. And steamer is probably, you know, the most sought after and well respected of the projection tools. So he's not wrong. He's just not wrong in the I think most people will agree he is being overpriced right now. A lot of these guys are. Ozzie Albies is being overpriced. It doesn't though take away that if you want the guy, you're gonna have to take him where you know you're gonna have to take him at that point. And you've got to figure out where does that tier of pitching change. If Luis Castillo is like the last range of like low SP2, high SP3 type of guys, and you know if you don't take Luis Castillo, you're going to be stuck with taking a John Gray, and you're not comfortable with that, then you're going to have to reach for your players sometimes. But I mean, dude, he makes interesting points.
This 790 on Fantasy Pros is killing me, because it also has him ranked way low overall. It has him as a 38 starting pitcher too.
Well, so email him right now. See,
I'm gonna have to email him, because this is. But I would like to see where he's going in relation to the rest of these guys, because I feel like he's going ahead of that Tanaka Otani tier. He's going right in the Paxton Cole, Quintana Nola tier, somewhere around there, right?
Say the last one again.
So he's going like they have him all the way down here around Johnny Cueto, Marcus Stroman, Trevor Bauer, Luke Weaver.
He's
like
going,
that's where.
So well, Weaver
he's going way ahead of that. He's more of the Jose Berríos, David Price. I feel like he's even going ahead of these guys. So if 80 to 90 is his range, just you know, eyeballing it, he's going right below Masahiro Tanaka. Like he's going between Tanaka and Arrieta. And I don't think that's a horrible spot for him to be going. And one of the main points that he said was his minor leagues didn't track like this. And when you look at Fangraphs, and I'm, you know, my main thing is looking at K per nine for big stud starters like this. And for whatever reason, when he first signed with the Giants, his K per nine went from 7.79 to 10.8 to 10.13. He got flipped to the Marlins. Started out at 8.95, then it dropped to below 7. 6.39, 6.96, 7.71. It's like they did something. They said, don't do this or don't do that. Maybe they were trying to tweak something with him. I don't know what was going on. When he got flipped back to the Reds last year in AA, 9.07, and then in the Bigs, 9.87. So I feel like whatever it was, once he got traded from he got out of Miami to Cincinnati – they found something he was doing wrong in Miami, and that's probably why they traded for him, and they were able to turn him into a much better pitcher.
Well, one of the interesting things, so his tweet caused a lot of, like, stir with people.
You know,
he obviously, well, he responded
different
to
opinions!
It. Yeah, opinions. But I thought it was interesting because I saw, I'm not going to go into it, you can go find it if you want. But Eno, our boy Eno Saris, who no longer at Fangraphs, and he's
Athletic.
Yeah, he's with the Athletic. He's doing the full on MLB side of the Athletic. And I, you know, just like we talked with Rob, I've spent tons of time with Eno. You go back and watch. You go back to the last 2 years of the Fall Stars game. It's me and Eno are next to each other on TV every single time. Just we're just yapping, being dumb. So I love Eno, and I love the conversation between the two, because these are two very respectable guys. But he says, Luis Castillo is the reason that pitching projections miss more than hitting projections. He's not the same pitcher he was when he was putting up those mediocre minor league numbers. He has two totally new pitches. And again, like I agreed with Rob Silver, I think Eno is kind of right on that. I think we did talk about this exact question.
Can I ask you to do something?
Sure.
Can you get off that fence?
What fence?
Come down off that fence. Rob Silver's right and Eno's right. So who's right? Who is Luis Castillo? Who is Kareem Garcia?
But what I'm getting at here is we talked about this exact thing with Rob of what was harder. And Rob kind of insinuated like, they're about the same. You know, it's nothing too crazy. But I kind of agree with Eno that I think the pitching projections are a much more difficult thing to get locked into than this.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Because, well, look, first of all, I mean, and Rob even mentioned it. You get pitchers wrong a lot because they get hurt more. You know, he said, look, you got to take the over on a guy getting hurt or missing time because, you know, this is not a natural thing for human beings to do. Human beings don't throw as hard as they can 100 times in a row. You know what I mean? So the elbow is going to get worn out, or there's going to be some type of something, you know, they land wrong. There's all kinds of stuff that it's much more likely that a starting pitcher is going to get hurt than an outfielder gets hurt, I guess is what I'm saying. So you have to incorporate that. Plus, you know, you have one bad game and it can really wreck your month, which can kind of tumble out your season. If you put together four or five bad starts, your numbers look way worse than they would if you were just, you know, bad in two of those starts, or you were mediocre in those starts instead of horrible. So little things change them even more than hitters do. So yeah, they're absolutely harder to predict.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because I know you have been a big Luis Castillo guy. I found myself in a couple leagues where I was really missing out on pitching, like that one I just told you about, the Bourbon League. I really wanted Luis Castillo coming back because
I tried to get you to take him like three times.
Yeah, well, my starter was, I was in this spot where I was like David Price and Castillo, and then I ended up doing something different, hoping they'd both come back. They didn't, and I only had Chris Archer at that point, and I really wanted Luis Castillo. I just think there is a little bit more inherent risk, but I also, you know, like you're inferring, though, I kind of think these guys are both kind of right. I think Luis Castillo... Price, he's going ahead of a guy like David Price, who I'm willing to spend that money on, and I think he's a better buy. So I think he is being overpriced. Yet I also do think that, you know, a lot of the criticism that would be put towards him is difficult because the guy has really changed his game. This is a maturation process for a prospect like him.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes guys just get better in the bigs, right? We've talked about that before. Some, you know, because the best teachers in the world are actually at the big league level. You want your best coaches there. You know, it's like everything else. The best hitters are at the big league level, and the best pitchers are at the big league level. So, again, with the coaches, they're at the big league level. So sometimes there's just a guy gets called up because he's been doing pretty good, and they tweak something. And he's much, much better. And it's like the Welsh just said, you know, he added a pitch here. He changed something, and it's all working out for him. So I'm big on Luis Castillo, and I'm even bigger on him in quality start leagues because the Reds are going to struggle for wins this season. So I like him better in your type of league. You should have taken him, the Welsh, when I told you to.
Yeah, I mean, I think I did an okay job putting the staff together.
Good, but
yeah.
It would probably look a little bit better.
Look a little
Luis Castillo, don't you think?
A little bit sexier. You know who I'm looking at right now, by the way. It's a save holds lead. You know what? Let's change what I was looking at.
Now I got to go see Kate Upton.
Little Carl Edwards Jr., not the race car driver, who he sounds like. You know, K per nine, holds league. You know, holds guy.
Yeah, K per nine league, absolutely.
If it was a K per nine league, it's not a K.
As long as it's not a game seven league.
Yeah, that hurts a little.
Well, I mean, you still got the win for it, but
That's true. What is let's go final takes. Final takes here, last 2 minutes of the show. We are final drafts. Any bit of advice, any you know, player, you got to avoid this guy. What do you think here? What's your final
180 on Michael Conforto. 180 on Michael Conforto. I was concerned about the shoulder injury, mainly because I was watching that game when he went down. It looked disgusting. Shoulder injuries are rough for hitters, but he's been coming back, and every time they're like, he's a little ahead of schedule, he's a little ahead of schedule. But it's also the Mets medical staff, which let everyone in the world down last season. So I kind of take everything with a grain of salt. But when he went out there against those minor leaguers and hit two bombs, I think I'm all back in, which probably isn't going to help people at this point, because I've been saying the whole time I wasn't a Michael Conforto guy. But he's been slipping because he's has that injury tag and everything. And I almost snapped him up in this draft, and I would absolutely be taking him this weekend.
Was that one of those, like, missed it by that much?
Missed it by that much. So I'm much more confident after seeing him hit some bombs, and they're still going to baby him, and he's not going to be back for 2 weeks. So I'm,
I like it.
I'm trying to get Conforto shares.
One thing I will tell you that I have noticed, I still think you can absolutely pull off, it's kind of pinning the league. I'm still down with taking heavy hitters. I want to go hitting, you know, probably through round four, absolutely. But, you know, if you've got long turns, that's one of the things I've noticed. If I'm picking eight or seven and you got long terms in between your hitting or your drafting spots, I found I've been a little bit uncomfortable with, like, one of the teams, like this the Bourbon League team. I don't love my pitching. I wish I would have done a little bit better on the pitching. My hitting is incredible. Where we just did this Roto League, and I'm very happy with the balance. I found there's a lot of late-round value from Carlos Gomez to Malik Smith to Cameron Maven for speed. There's late-round power that you can get in on. There's some safety bet players like Yonder Alonso that you can go pick up. So, you know, I'm not afraid to go in that three or four to take one pitcher and maybe come back. And the closer I am to picks, the more likely I am to probably wait on pitching a little bit, because, you know, at least if I'm going to, like, okay, this pick, because I got five picks later, I'll take the good hitter and I'll come back and take one of these pitchers. That's a little bit more of a likely scenario for me. So I might, where I was maybe not even taking pitching until the fifth or sixth, might take it a little bit earlier. A little Yu Darvish action.
Yeah, you find some of those guys, especially with spring training settling down and jobs kind of starting to sort themselves out. So I like that too.
And injuries piling
and
up
injuries.
A little bit. So go check it out. Final Prep, 99 Fantasy Baseball Player Debate, $6.99 on Amazon or InThisLeague.com. Go get it. Rock your drafts. Dominate those suckers. And you can always hit us up on Twitter at IsTheWelsh or Bogman Sports. My friends, good luck. Go win those leagues. Get some ships. We'll talk to you next time. Peace out.
See you.